This is Ed, the Liberal Gladiator, and I just want to welcome everyone to Weight Off Your Shoulders again in the studio. In my studio, I've got Marty Finkelstein, who is a Tai Chi, Qigong, and Kung Fu practitioner, teacher, and Sifu for those who are in other martial arts. And so one of the big things I think that some people have in martial arts is they're not aware of how they're all connected to each other in some kind of fundamental way. So that was actually one of the big things I wanted to ask, Marty. So for our audience, just go ahead and explain that, if you could.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, it's a pleasure being here. Thanks, Ed. Always delighted to talk about Tai Chi and especially its benefits. So people often confuse Tai Chi with Qigong and Kung Fu. Tai Chi is thousands of years old, originally developed as a very effective and deadly martial art. It differs from most hard styles of martial arts because it emphasizes softness, relaxation, and mind-body integration, along with meditation and the development and circulation of the internal energy called qi, life force, or breath energy. Okay. For many years, the Tai Chi was taught as a martial art, but over the years, recently, they realized that it had tremendous health benefits. And so the purpose of Tai Chi, in my way of thinking, is to improve health, longevity, flexibility, energy, and it does have a spiritual component. The Tai Chi consists of usually a solo form, series of slow movements. Sometimes they imitate animals. So the animal essence, like a white crane, spreads its wings, or the snake creeps down, or snake spits its tongue. These are some of the moves in Tai Chi. Further study of Tai Chi involves two-person techniques called generally pushing hands, where two people develop sensitivity, balance, and awareness of both their energy and the partner's energy and balance. Okay. So again, emphasis these days is on the tremendous health benefits of Tai Chi. So people then ask, well, what is Qigong? Okay, Qigong is made up of two words, qi, which is that internal life force, breath energy, and gong, sometimes G-O-N-G, or sometimes K-U-N-G. Now, in Chinese, kung means any discipline or skill achieved through hard work and practice, not necessarily martial arts, okay? So then we have qigong, which means refining and enhancing the qi energy that is basically the life force within people. Okay, so that is qigong. Now, it's really an ancient healthcare system that integrates postures, both moving and stationary, breathing techniques, and forced or focused intentions. So you might think of it similar to yoga practices. Now, the Qigong, there's many different styles of Qigong, but the practices are usually martial, medical, or spiritual, and they do include the Tai Chi forms. And then people talk, well, what about Kung Fu? Now, Kung Fu usually is reference to different martial arts. But again, Kung Fu means the skill achieved through hard work and practice, and Fu means fist. So it is generally described as a martial art. There are over 400 sub-styles of different martial arts. So you have northern styles that consist of like the Shaolin long fist, eagle claw, monkey style. Southern styles might include Wing Chun, Hung Gar, and Chö Lì Phật. The Tai Chi styles are part of what they call the internal martial arts or practices of the Chinese styles that include Tai Chi, Bagua, and Xingyi. And many different styles of Tai Chi, such as Yang style, Wu style, Chen style, and Sun style. So I hope that kind of explains the differences between the three categories.
Marty, that was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I think it's important people, you know, the audience understand that while there are differences, there are links of commonality between all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear these words like kung, and, you know, I'm, you know, aware that, for instance, you know, one of the teachers of, you know, philosophy out of China is a guy named Confucius, but his real name was Kung Fuzi. And so it's again, you know, it had the feeling that it was like, you know, hard work and teacher all rolled in to one thing. And so when you're going into, you know, Qigong, Tai Chi and Kung Fu, there's linkages between all of those based on almost like word origin in a weird kind of way that you know, that kind of gives you a clue. And then you can pick and choose, or maybe your teacher will say this style is maybe better adapted to your energy levels, especially for things that are related to medical or other types of infirmities.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I want to ask you is, explain the difference between hard and soft, and then explain how that relates to strength and push hands.
Okay. You know, here in the Western world, we usually relate what they call the hard styles to muscular punches and kicking, development of hard bodies, and using force to accomplish, you know, the goal in hard style martial arts of either doing damage to the other person through various means of kicks, punches, locks, throwdowns, and that sort of thing. The Tai Chi principle is very different and usually hard for people to understand the soft, relaxed style of Tai Chi. Okay. And way back, the Tai Chi masters that understood and utilized these concepts of softness, relaxation, internal energy, were masters in their 70s and 80s that could defeat multiple opponents who were younger and stronger. But the training for Tai Chi is very, very different than training for a hard style. Hard style may be lifting weights, using, you know, punching bags and that sort of thing. Style for Tai Chi is to relax, get in touch with the internal energy, utilizing the whole body. It's very rarely seen the applications of Tai Chi using these internal principles. But I can tell you, because I've been fortunate enough to be in the presence of masters that utilize these techniques, and it is quite devastating. So you'll see Tai Chi practitioners like move very slowly. Usually it almost looks like a dance, but inside there's a great deal of power and energy.
Okay. So you and I have interfaced quite a few times on you know, in some classes. And
that's
of course, you know, I'm kind of like that toddler in the classroom. Oh, well, what do I do next? You know, and, you know, you and I were, you know, doing, you know, push hands and, you know, there's no look. I mean, I don't want to be mean or anything, but yes, you know, I've been used to like harder styles of, you know, which is almost related to like street fighting. You're going to go out there. God, I got to defend myself. I got people coming. I don't have time to. And so you start whacking them, or they're trying to whack you. Whereas, you know, someone using a soft approach to that would allow that person to expend their, you know, their ferocity and their energy being put into that, and then ultimately use that to deplete them of their ability to continue, and then go on to end up defeating them.
Right.
So when, you know, obviously, you know that I've lifted weights and I'm reasonably strong, and
you know, very strong.
Well, thank you very much. And so when we're doing push hands, you know, initially I really did think, I'm stronger than Marty, you know, I'll just be able to do this pretty quickly here. And what happened? Well, you know what happened.
Yes.
Okay, people, I lost.
Well, you know, in the Tai Chi philosophy, we don't use force against force, because Ed being much stronger than I am, if I try to use my muscle strength against his muscle strength, guess what? I'm going to lose big time. However, using the subtle techniques of Tai Chi, I can take his energy and instead of fighting it, use it, dissolve it, or make it go in a direction that is away from my body. Okay, this requires a lot of sensitivity, or what they call in Tai Chi, listening. Ting Jing is the Chinese for listening. And that just means feeling, being in touch with the other person's energy, their direction, and also their mind. So many of the highest level skills that I've seen in Tai Chi, before a person physically makes the move, the Tai Chi master will know what's coming and be able to avoid it. So there's no confrontation of force against force. It's softness allows a person to dissolve any incoming energy and avoid it. So there's no kind of direct hits.
Well, I will say, Marty, that, you know, I'm probably older than a lot of the audience at this point in time. But I have to say that experience, taught me that the most important thing about, self-defense and just being existing on this planet in this transitory state is the ability to anticipate. And so what you're saying, so using a layman's Western term, is you're able to anticipate what someone might want to do. And then that way, even if that person is faster, stronger, more powerful in some kind of context, you know, athletic or sports performance context, if you know what they're going to do before they know what they are going to do, and then try to execute that. In other words, if you know that you're going to meet me in a 100-meter dash, if you go to the finish line and I'm thinking, well, God, you know, I'm going to beat Marty, and you're already there. Being at the finish line,
right.
And guess what?
Right.
You know, I end up losing that because you've anticipated the fact that you need to be there before I get there, even think about it.
Right.
So that process is something I think people should be taking a look at, because it's like situational awareness. It's, it's your own body awareness, your spiritual awareness. How do you connect those things when you're talking to your students who are, you know, almost certainly mostly Westerners?
Yeah. Well, by the way, these are not easy skills. They go a lot of what we have learned growing up in our society. To, you know, have big muscles, be strong, be offensive. So these skills are not easy to obtain. But through the Tai Chi practice, we start by doing what they call a solo form, and that is done very slowly. And the reason it's done slowly is that it gives the person and the teacher time to make sure that when people move, they are moving in alignment. The body is in alignment so that you don't injure yourself by having undue stresses on the joints, for example, the knees, the arms, the elbows, or the shoulders. And also by doing it slowly, you can then create the proper breathing to coordinate with the movements. And the slowness allows you time to feel within yourself where you may be out of balance, where the body structure is not correct, where the body does not operate as a single unit. Usually you see arms moving, but in Tai Chi, the whole body moves. Whenever there's a movement, the whole body takes part in it. So these skills are acquired through slow movements in the presence of somebody that can recognize where the imbalances are, where the joints are out of alignment, where the energy is dissipated and not effective. And the push hands further enhances those qualities because you do it slowly again, and you're able to build up the sensitivity, the listening skills of where that person is out of balance, where that person has tension in their body. When the body is stiff in tension, it's easy to push that body and do something with it. When it's soft and flexible and relaxed, you can push on someone and it doesn't go inside and hurt them. So these practices, for most people who are anxious to develop something very quickly, I would say that Tai Chi is not for them. It takes a lot of time, a lot of actually awareness. And I know one of my instructors who really has set me on this incredible path, Bob Cook, he said awareness is the first big step in Tai Chi.
Okay, and we both know Bob, who's a phenomenal, well, phenomenally experienced in multiple forms of martial arts.
Right.
So really what you're saying, in a sense, so like another Western comparison might be to say that Tai Chi is kind of like, a willow twig that can bend and move,
right,
and so forth with force. Whereas the hard styles and hard thinking, which is a critical component of that problem, is more like a piece of glass, hard but very brittle and very breakable.
They say in the famous Tao Te Ching, the Confucius document, that Tai Chi is like a young willow full of sap, that it can be easily bent through the wind. Whereas you have some trees that are withered and dry and easily broken.
Interesting. Well, I got at least 50% of that by accident. I got the willow part, you know? So that's actually really cool, though, because people can see that, you know, that a softer style is maybe more spiritually centered can deliver incredibly wonderful benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when you go into... From that position, you go into the medical portion. This is something that I think, explain how you would integrate the medical with the health, fitness, and wellness portion there.
All right. Well, the Tai Chi practice for the medical purposes, of course, was utilized for thousands of years. It was only recently in this country that the major medical institutions have studied Tai Chi through traditional Western type of studies, the double-blind placebo-based studies. So now you have organizations like the Mayo Clinic, John Hopkins, Harvard Medical, verifying these health benefits of Tai Chi. So if I can just take a couple of seconds here, I want to read from a quote from the Harvard Medical School.
Please.
And this was in a document they published in 2013. So the Harvard Medical said, "This gentle form of exercise could prevent and ease many ills of aging and could be the perfect activity for the rest of your life. Tai Chi is often described as meditation in motion, but it might well be called medication in motion. There is growing evidence that this mind-body practice, which originated in China as a martial art, has value in treating or preventing many health problems. And you can get started even if you aren't in the best of shape or the best of health. That's part of the quote from Harvard Medical, obviously a very respected organization.
Yeah, I think that Harvard probably got at least a little respect.
Right, yeah.
In the academic world and research world.
And also, let me say that the hard styles are very effective. And I would not say that a person who is a black belt, 6-degree black belt, is somebody to mess with. You got to respect everyone's style and their practice. And the Tai Chi practice, again, has many, many different levels, and it requires that hard work in order to achieve those levels. One thing about Tai Chi is that the Tai Chi principles can be used in everyday life. It could be used for skiing. It could be used for walking, hiking, biking, golf, tennis. All the principles of Tai Chi allow you to utilize the practice in everyday life. So it becomes very, very valuable, and it makes things a lot more enjoyable because you're able to do things without a lot of stress and strain. And do it in a more relaxed, let's say, pleasurable environment.
And this, a lot of what Marty's saying here is absolutely amazing because, you know, Tai Chi, I believe, might be the only martial art that has a defined concept of a, quote, death blow, unquote. and none of the others, which are the hard styles, have anything remotely as harsh as that.
Well, like I said, going back, the original Tai Chi taught as a martial art, which is really Tai Chi Chuan. Today we refer to Tai Chi as just a general practice for health. But ancient Chinese masters who developed the acupuncture points, they were very knowledgeable in certain points and what they call cavities in the body that with a very precise strike could do extensive damage, such as stopping the heart. And these practices called dim mok, which people call the death blow, were very real. But they do take an area of expertise that is very, very difficult to find practitioners and very difficult to practice, because if you're working with somebody and you use a little too much force in one of these points, you could do extensive damage that may not be corrected.
Okay, so in other words, this is not something that you practice at home with your friends. No, right. No bro science people out there. This is not suitable
right.
for you just screwing around. Hey, man, let's check out that death blow, man.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's crap. Well, no, don't do that. You know, get in touch with a great Tai Chi practitioner who will set you on the right path. This is for people who really want to be spiritually based
right.
and want to get better. They're looking at things medically, spiritually, physically,
right?
You know, even socially. I mean, there's great people in those crowds. And where do you teach? I mean, we got about a minute left.
Okay.
But.
One thing that I'm very proud of, I was selected to teach at the Valley View Callaway Young Cancer Center. So I have classes there that are for cancer patients, survivors, and primary caretakers. And they can come there and take the Tai Chi and the Qigong at no cost. Other classes I have here at the Third Street Center in Carbondale, and also at Midland Fitness, a really nice health club in West Glenwood. I do usually 4 or 5 workshops a year. I've done some at True Nature here in Carbondale, a great place, and some at the Third Street Center. You can always call me at 970-948-7379 to talk about classes, and feel free to call me. And thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Marty. And I know Marty really well. Great guy. If anyone has any questions, you can also call the studio or call me directly, and I will refer you to Marty. So absolutely, positively, please do this, and we'll go from there.